Say good morning to each and every one of you here this morning. Bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to be here with you today. I appreciated the service we had so far. Do want to welcome the visitors who are with us. I trust you'll feel welcomed here as we worship the Lord together as well. It is a good day. Yesterday when the snowstorm was happening and last evening, it was blowing like crazy. It was like, well, you don't know what tomorrow's going to be like, but here we are. So we're glad to be able to gather together to worship the Lord, and really appreciated the songs that we sang this morning and the Sunday school lesson. The whole service was very encouraging, and scripture Brother John read here for us. This morning for a message, felt led to bring the message on to look at walking like God walks, or could we say being imitators of God. And you know, we see so much happening in the world around about us. We see so much happening, in the world around about us, and sad to say, some of that is creeping into the churches in various ways. And I guess I'm just challenged and encouraged. I say challenged to continue to walk as God would have us to walk, but also encouraged as we see those that are willing to walk in the way God has asked us to walk. I'm sure you've all noticed how little children will imitate their parents. Well, you know, when they're fairly young, their parents are their heroes. They do a lot of things like their parents would do them. As they're growing up, some of that can kind of change to a certain extent, but I guess one thing that I was thinking about, as we go through each stage of life, there's somebody following after or imitating somebody. And if we are following God or imitating God, we create, I shouldn't say create, we are somebody worth having somebody follow after, I guess is a good way to say it. So what are we following, or what are we imitating? Title of the message this morning is Followers of God. To imitate means to behave or attempt to act in the same way as someone else, to follow the example of someone, to take on the appearance of, to seek to be like someone. There's many different definitions there, but thinking about being followers of God or imitators of God, to behave or to act in the same way as someone else, to follow the example. What was the example of Christ? We'll look at some of that maybe this morning a little bit. Or to take on the appearance of, to seek to be like someone. Ephesians 4:1 tells us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith or you are called. A couple other verses thinking about some of that. Ephesians 1:1, I'll read the whole verse. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith you are called. Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you may walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Sure, we could look at many others, but just a couple verses thinking about walking worthy or following after, being worthy of the calling or the vocation wherewith you have been called. We have been given clear instructions all through Scripture what God wants and expects of us. It's a question as we enter into the message this morning for each one of us to think about and to ask ourselves this morning, how are we following God and imitating God in our life? The text this morning, if you'll turn with me at this time, is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. I guess with the time change, the sun shining in here different, it's creating a glare on my Bible. Hopefully this don't mess up my reading, but we'll do the best we can. Ephesians 5, 1 through 14. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an adulterer hath an inheritance in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers, for ye were sometimes darkness, and now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them or expose them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. It's a lot of things to ponder on and think about in this portion of Scripture. We want to look at four different parts this morning. The first one is to walk in love. We see there in verse 1, thinking about what we talked about there a little bit in the opening, it says, Be ye therefore followers of God. Then it don't stop there. It says, As dear children, as his children, as sons and daughters of God, be ye therefore followers of God. In other words, follow after that which is good. Follow after that which is right. And I like that thought, how he said, as dear children. Thinking just a little bit more about that thought, there's a verse back in Matthew 16, verse 24. In Jesus' own words, thinking about following him. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said unto them, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So there again, thinking of what we need to do to follow God, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, die to self, take up that which God wants us to do, and to follow him. A couple more verses thinking about following after God or being imitators of God. In John 10, 10, there's several verses here. We see a couple of these that I'm going to look at. Lays down the fact that Jesus is the shepherd. He is the one that has provided salvation for us. But then the last verse gives us some things of what we need to do. But John 10, verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. And this is Jesus speaking here. I am the good shepherd, and a good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. And then verse 15, And the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So we see here Jesus is the good shepherd, and he is the one that laid down his life, or gave his life, that we might have a good and right relationship with the Lord, salvation as we know it today. But then in verse 27, it gives us what we need to have. And then it says, and this is still Jesus speaking here, and it says, And my sheep, that's referring to us that are professing Christians, and my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So we see there's several things we could look at. I was thinking of that a little bit. I probably could make a whole message out of just that verse alone of, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, the intimate relationship we have with Jesus, our Father. And then he says, And they follow me. We will willingly follow him. Verse 2 there in our text in Ephesians 5, and it says, And walk in love. How do we walk in love? Adam Clark says that we need to let every act of life be dictated by love to God and man. Part of walking in love is walking in the same way that Christ did. You know, he said all throughout his teaching while he was here on this earth, he was basically pointing to the fact that he wasn't here to do his own thing. Here again, I'm paraphrasing, but he was here to do the will of his heavenly Father, to be obedient, to do the will of his heavenly Father. Christ loved us unconditionally. We see that there at the end of verse 2. Thinking about it, well, let me read the whole verse there together. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. But then it shows us what he did because of his love for us. He hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. Our love should imitate our Heavenly Father's love. Jesus walked in love, and he, because of his love for us, he gave us what we needed or what was our greatest need. He gave himself as a sacrifice for us that we might have a right relationship with our Father God in heaven. It's a quote that I've seen while studying, kind of puts things into perspective a little bit, but it says, You're not loving God as God loved us unless it is costing you something. Think about that just a little bit. You know, we are not loving God as God loved us unless it is costing you something. And then he had a couple illustrations there. Your rights, your patience, your time, your resources. In other words, is our life dedicated to serving the Lord because of our love for him? Some people try to do what is right, but for all the wrong reasons. Some people try to live life with the attitude of what's in it for me. 1 Peter 4:1 kind of gives us some more thoughts of what we need to be doing and loving our Father, loving God. I said 4:1. 1 Peter 4:8, very familiar verse. And above all these things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Fervent means warm and intense. Is our life one of love and a sweet-smelling savor to God? Or is it the opposite of that? And I had to think here a little bit, you know, thinking about Christ and how he laid down his life for us, and that phrase there really jumped out at me there at the end of verse 2, for a sweet-smelling savor, you know. What caused them to write those words, or what caused inspired them to write it in that way? You know, I think it had to do with Jesus' obedience to his Heavenly Father, him being willing to what God had for him to do. And not only that, but because of the sacrifice that he offered, that he gave himself for us. So what would it take for our lives to be a sweet-smelling savor to God? Yeah, it's a little definitely different than what Jesus did, as we're not going to die on the cross. I mean, let me back up. We are called to die to ourselves daily, but not in the same sense that Jesus did in providing salvation for mankind. But we are to die to ourselves daily, to love our brothers, to be there for one another, to encourage one another, to build one another up, and in the midst of all of that, remain pure and holy before the Lord. We'll look at some of that in the next couple of verses. Part two we have is fleeing sin. If we are imitators of God, we will flee sin and unrighteousness. In verse 3 there we see three things that are listed: fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness. Basically any, first one would refer to sexual sins, the second one uncleanness, things that are actually wrong, things that are sin. And then the third one is covetousness or envy, those types of things. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Immorality, impurity, and greed. The Bible tells us in many places that God hates sin. Paul's saying here that these things should not even be once named among saints. So we need to be careful that our lives are pure and holy before the Lord. These are the things that our carnal nature, the nature that we are born with, part of the lost and fallen world. They have nothing to do with the body of Christ. Verse 4, we see three additional things: neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. As Christians, we should be willing and have the desire to get rid of things in our lives or anything that is contrary to the will of God. You know, sin in a nutshell is self-love and sinful behavior. The mention in verses 3 and 4 is a simple act of self-love. What are we doing in our lives? Part three we want to look at is watch out for deception. For verse 5, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of God. So this here puts another whole measure or another whole dimension to it. You know, verse 3 there says about, let this not be once named among you. But then verse 5 says, if we do those things, we do not have an inheritance of Christ or the kingdom of God. We cannot have the promise of being in heaven. Those who continually live in sin or habitually practice a sinful lifestyle will not and cannot be a part of the kingdom of God. Many people are being deceived today. It's kind of interesting. If you want to justify yourself for anything, you can find somebody somewhere that will help you justify yourself. You know, I'm thinking of sin as a whole in many churches today are condoned or just overlooked, or many other things that we can think of. And many pastors will condone that as well. But I thank God this morning that we are encouraged and strengthened to live faithfully, to live holy, to live pure, to continue to live in the way God wants us to live. Verse 6 talks about not letting anybody deceive us, because the wrath of God will come upon the children of disobedience. I'm going to jump down a couple verses, and then we'll come back to some of these other verses a little bit later. But verses 8 and 9 tells us what we should do as we're watching out for deception. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. There, I talked about that a little bit earlier. To do what we know is good, what we know is right, and to walk in truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That thought of proving, how can we prove ourselves? There's many different things we can look at, but maybe one verse I'll point to. I have several listed here, but I'll just look at one of them, I believe. Romans 12:2, very familiar verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Basically saying that don't be like the world. Don't be that thought of conforming yourself to the world. Don't line up with the world, so to speak. Don't do the things of the world, but allow your minds to be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and perfect, acceptable will of God. Another question for each one of us to think about, is there evidence in your life that you belong to Christ? 2 Corinthians 13:5, verse 5a, verse we often look at is council meeting, and I believe it's very fitting for that, but I believe it's also fitting for this as well, to examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, or prove yourself, to know, to take account of what we are doing. Brother Paul mentioned this morning in our Sunday school class, or we're looking at Ecclesiastes there and thinking about a lot of things that Solomon said there, but Brother Paul was mentioning, you know, as you get older, some of the things you worked at or did or thought about when you're younger don't really matter anymore. I think's how you said it. Yeah, he's shaking his head. I think that's, if he didn't say those exact words, that's what he meant. But as I was thinking about that, and as I have here in my notes, as we grow older, are we growing more and more concerned or more and more dedicated to the things of God? Are we growing deeper in our walk with the Lord? Is our life pleasing God? Thinking of that thought, if we are walking worthy of the calling which we have received, proving what is that good and acceptable will of God. Question to think about too, as we think about that verse just a little bit more, verse 6, where it says, let no man deceive you with vain words. How are we watching out for deception? If we don't know what the Word of God says, are we reading? Are we grasping the Word of God? Are we understanding what the Word of God tells us? If we don't know what the Word of God says, we will be deceived very quickly. How do we respond when we are around someone with what it says in verse 4? Filthiness or foolish talking or jesting. Verse 7 tells us to be not ye therefore partakers with them. In other words, don't become involved in their conversation, to flee those things that we know is wrong. We need to be careful to watch out for deception, to watch out for parasites. Trust all of you know what parasites are. If we, for those of us that are on farms, if you have cattle or animals of any kind, if a cow gets some worms or animals get worms, they, especially if they're out on pasture, they can, as they, yeah, they just reproduce themselves and they intake the worms again, the eggs and stuff, and they just continue that cycle. So you don't, if you can't, don't give them something to kill the worms. The worms, it don't matter how much they eat, those worms will slowly, the body will slowly deteriorate because of what the worms are. The worms are eating all the goods and all the nutrients in their system. And that's the same as what happens for us when deception creeps into our lives. The deception slowly eats the good, and our spirituality will wither away, and our spiritual life will become non-existent or will become void. Part four we want to look at yet is walk in light. When we come to know Christ, you take on the very nature of Christ, who is the light of the world. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we are now called to be part of that light to the world. We are called to walk as imitators of that light. Look at verse 8 there in our text. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of light. Very straightforward, very easy to understand. There's not much you can miss there. We were sometimes in darkness. We didn't understand. We didn't have a right relationship with God. We had not accepted God as our Savior. So because of that, we didn't understand what it meant to walk as part of the light. But we are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 11 and 12 gives us some more to think about. For we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to reprove or to expose them. Did I say verse 12? That was verse 11, if I did say verse 12, because I'm ready to look at verse 12 now. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Thinking of some of the sins we talked about earlier, the filthiness, the foolish talking and jesting, it is even a shame to speak of some of those things. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. In other words, they're obvious. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. It reveals, it'll show those things that are good in our lives. A couple verses thinking about some of that. Back in John 8, verse 12, says, then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. In other words, Jesus is the one that provided the light to the world. He is the one that gave us salvation. When we accept Christ as our Savior and are partakers of that light, we are now following him. He that followeth me, we shall no longer walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. One other verse in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Says it like this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That thought there of a new creature, a new creation, a new person. The things that we formerly were partakers of before we accepted Christ are now should be in our past. We should now be serving the Lord. So what does it mean to live as children of light? Verse 9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. Our lives should be characterized by goodness, what we know is right, what we know is truth. Brother Ezra Moss, I think I quoted him just recently in one of my other sermons, but he's an older retired pastor, and from time to time he puts quotes on Facebook, and I find them he puts a lot of thought into the quotes he puts on Facebook, I'll say it that way. But he said it like this, if we want to enjoy the benefits of heaven, we need to resemble Christ in this life, in what we say, what we do, how we act, and what we think. Very good words. If we want to enjoy the benefits of heaven, we need to resemble Christ in this life, in what we say, what we do, and how we act, and what we think. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 14 tells us to awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. We are given what I guess you would call a wake-up call. God loves us so much, he again issues a warning for us. It's time to wake up and to recognize the dangers of living in darkness or living with one foot in the world and one foot in the church, trying to live that way. We could look at a lot of different verses in Scripture, but two different ones back in Revelations chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. It says it like this: "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except ye repent." And then Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16: "And I know thy works; thou art neither cold nor hot. I would have you rather cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." I often think of these verses in relationship to a marriage. You know, on your wedding day, you're standing at the altar. You think your spouse, the one you're going to marry, is Mr. or Mrs. Perfect. Nothing's going to be any better than today. And as life goes on, if you're not careful, 10, 20, 30 years down the road, you maybe don't have the same appreciation for your spouse as you did today that you stood at that altar. As you go through raising children, as you go through difficulties of life, and I'm not saying this is, you go through different seasons of life, so I want to be careful how I'm saying this, but if you're not careful, your appreciation is not quite as strong as what it was on the day that you stood at the altar. But I thank God, I'll say this before I make the rest of my comment about that. I thank God this morning that your appreciation can be much stronger and grow much deeper as you continue to cultivate that relationship with your husband or wife. But what I'm wanting us to look at is, in relation to that is, you know, when you first give your heart to the Lord, it's exciting and it's new and it's genuine, it's real. And as life goes on, you know, you face some of the difficulties, some of the trials, some of the hardships of life. And if we're not careful through that, our faith can begin to wane at times, or maybe isn't quite as strong as it was on the day we accepted Christ as our Savior. And that's what we're looking at there and thinking of some of that in relation to the verses we looked at in Revelations there. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Your love for me is not quite as strong as it was. But we are given a warning there: "To remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works." In other words, have the same fire for me as you did when you accepted me as your Savior. "Or else I will come quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except ye repent." So bringing that back to our text this morning, thinking about being followers of God as dear children, walking in love, not partaking in the evil and the wickedness in the world that's round about us, not being caught up in the filthiness nor foolish talking or jesting. I remember Brother Ernie sharing a message. I don't remember if it was on this exact text, but it was something to do with some of these verses. And he, you know, when you're out with your friends as a group of ladies or a group of men, if anybody in the group starts talking negatively about your spouse, whether it's your husband or wife, don't join in with them. I remember Ernie saying, one time he was with a group of men and they got to talking, basically foolish talking about their wives. And he said, "I'm really glad that my wife still does really good things for me. And she helps, I forget how he said it. I'm going to paraphrase what came to my mind as I was thinking about that. She still cooks me good meals and she still provides a good household for us." And, you know, What I'm wanting us to think about is, what do we do? Do we walk away and act whatever when we face those situations, or do we say things that can be counterproductive and help those in a positive way? Be a light, as it talks about here in our scripture. Sometimes it's not always easy to live a godly life in a sin-cursed world. Sometimes it can be easier to think about just giving in or giving up. But the price is too high to do this. We cannot afford to become complacent or to give in to sin. We cannot afford to not love as Christ has called us to love. We cannot participate in unfruitful works of the world and expect to be okay. If we want to be imitators and followers of God, we have to live lives that are pleasing to Him. And we must be imitators and followers of Christ. If we are going to be imitators of Christ, we have to have a continual dedication, a continual surrender to the will and what God wants us to do. We must continue to take on the image of Christ, to be transformed, to be renewed in our minds. Continue to read and study the Word of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to cultivate a continued renewed relationship with us on a day-to-day basis. And I don't want to take away from the fact that I'm sure all of us, if we were completely honest, would say that there is mountains and valleys in our faith and our relationship with the Lord. There's times we have the mountaintops experiences and we really like that. But if all of our life was a mountaintop experience, would our faith and trust grow in the Lord? I think I can be honest enough to say this morning that mine probably wouldn't as strongly. You recognize your reliance on the Lord. You recognize your dependence and your need to continue to have faith and trust in the Lord. So a question I leave with each one of us today, where do you find yourself at this morning? Does your life show that you're imitators of Christ? Or are you imitating the world and the world's fleshly desires? Leave you with one verse here in closing, Ephesians 4:1. I referred to it in the beginning, but I didn't read the whole verse. Apostle Paul's saying here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith you're called. Are we walking worthy? Are we imitators of Christ in how we are living? With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.